This is a hashkaf of Shia for Parshas Baaloscha, and we're going to try to analyze a very difficult inyan, and that's the so-called Lashon Hara of Miriam Hanaviyah against Moshe and Aaron. She was the great sister of Moshe and Aaron. She was the Tzadekes Gedola, and all of Klal Yisrael in their walkings, their travelings through the terrible wilderness, they enjoyed her hashra'ah. It was Miriam who was able to bring them the water, Be'er Shel Miriam, as the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, the Be'er Shel Miriam, which facilitated for Bnei Yisrael 40 years worth of water in that terrible desert, and the thirst, the heat of the sun. They drank from her be'er. It was all in Hazchus. This is the great Miriam, and there are so many things that we could say about Miriam. How do we understand this parasha that records Miriam speaking about Aaron and Moshe that looks at least at the surface of it to be Lashon Hara? She speaks to Aaron and she says disparaging words about Moshe Rabbeinu, and as a result, in the aftermath, she is struck with leprosy, terrible leprosy, until Moshe has to pray in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to heal her. And as a result of this parasha, we remember Miriam on a daily basis. And the Torah in Parshas Ki Tetzeh tells us, "He shomer b'negat tzaras lishmar miyod v'lasus kechol shayoru eschem hakonim alavim kasher tzivisim tishmeru lasos zochres asher osa Hashem al kechol Miriam b'derech tzeischem b'tzeischem b'mitzrayim." So Rashi says, "In basal izoyer shaloti loke b'tzaras al tesapro lashanor zachar ha'asui l'miriam shedibra be'achia." So again, if we read this at simple, straightforward pshat, it would seem clear that Miriam is chalila guilty of lashon hara. This is something we have to remember, and it should remind us on a daily basis of the severity of this violation. The Ramban shita is that in fact, here in Chumash, he says in his commentary that Lefi Daiti, remembering Miriam, is a mitzvah sase mamish, as it says, Zochres Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, or Zochres Yom HaShar Yotzasu Mitzrayim, Zochres Tashosel Amole, Kula Mitzvah. In Cain, Gamzeh Kemosam, the Ramban insists that this one, remembering Miriam, is like the others, V'hi Azhora Miludabra Lashon Hara. The purpose of remembering Miriam is to warn us about not violating Avodah Zarah. And in fact, if you look in the Torah's Kohanim, in Parshas Bechukosai, we have to fulfill this mitzvah Zechiras Miriam, Beshinun Peh. We have to verbally remind ourselves, express orally, Zochres Asher Os Hashem Al Kechel Miriam, says the Sifra, Yachol Bilvavcha, I might think it's enough to just remember it in our hearts. Kshu Omer, Hishomer B'negat Tzaras, Lishmar Miyod V'lasos, Hare Shichas Aleva Mura, Homani Mekayim Zohar, Shetei Shona B'ficha. V'cheinu Omer Zohar, Sesher Oselcha Amolek, Yachol Bilibcha, Kshu Omer Lo Tishkach, Hare Shichas Aleva Mura, Homani Mekayim Zohar, Shetei Shona B'ficha. So we have a negative commandment of Lo Tishkach. But the Torah gives us, in addition to the negative command of Shmira, make sure that you don't forget, the Torah also says Zohar in a positive sense, giving up a Kiyum essay, which requires Peh, which requires that we actually verbalize Shetei Shona Beficha, our Zechira. So it comes out that every year when we read Parshas Baaloscha and the terrible story of Miriam at the end of the parasha, we should really have in mind to fulfill Shetei Shona Beficha Zochres Asher Osa Hashem Al Kecha LeMiriam Beficha sheteishona beficha. So what we want to analyze is what caused Miriam, the great tzaddikus, the great Nevi'ah, to speak about her brother Moshe Rabbeinu. And let's be mekayim what it says in the pasuk in Mishlei, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and we're going to speak about the Shevach of Miriam, the great tzaddikus, the great Nevi'ah, as we know in Hazchus, Moshe Rabbeinu was born, and she was the one who influenced Amram, her father, to remarry his wife, take back his wife Yocheved, and as a result, all of Klal Yisrael followed in the footsteps of Amram, and they remarried their wives, and as a result, all of Beis Yisrael was born when they left Mitzrayim, and they came to be Mekabel the Torah. It all started with Miriam and her influence. And then, as we say, there are many, many things that we can speak about in terms of the greatness of Miriam, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Now, what I want to study with you today is a study unit from Rav Pinchas Friedman in the Shvilei Pinchas for Parashas Baal Loscha. And we begin with a pasuk in Chumash, Vatedaber Miriam, at the end of our parasha, V'aron b'Moshe al ados ha'isha kushis ha'shel lakach ki isha kushis lakach, says Rashi, Vatedaber Miriam v'aron hi pascha b'dibur t'chila ficha k'dima kosev t'chila. It says Vatedaber Miriam v'aron, her name is mentioned first, says Rashi, because she was the one who began this speech, this negative derogatory derision. Alados Aisha, says Rashi, Alados Gerusheha, on the woman Tzipor, the wife of Moshe, that she was divorced. Ki Isha Kushis Lakach, Ma Talmud Lomer, Ella Yeshlecha Isha Noah Biofia, Viena Noah Masel, Masevelo Biofia, Alzos Noah Bekol. So Miriam is speaking about Tzipora, the wife of Moshe, and what she's saying about her is that, number one, she's being sent away by Moshe. Number two, she is a beautiful woman, both in her yofi and in her masim. As if to understand, the Torah is like giving us a way of identifying with Miriam's pain, so to speak, with her taina, with her complaint. And Miriam formulates the following: Vayomru harak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem, alo gam banu diber vayishma Hashem, vayish Moshe anav miod mikol adam asher pnei adama. So the Rambam, that we'll bring a little bit later on, will clarify that Miriam made a major mistake here. Hishvisa L'shar Nevi'im, she compares Moshe Rabbeinu, equalizes him to all the other prophets. And she realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them, meaning to Miriam and to Aaron the Koach, the power of Nevuah. And there was never a remez, there was never any sort of indication that they should be Poresh, they should separate themselves from their spouses. And therefore they derived the conclusion that Moshe Rabbeinu likewise should not have separated himself and sent away Tzipora's wife. He, Moshe Rabbeinu, apparently made that decision on his own, and that's not a right decision. They critiqued his decision. The pasuk immediately after their pronunciation, it says, "Ve'ish Moshe anov miod mikol ha'adam shel pnei adama." And therefore, since Moshe Rabbeinu is the anav, he's the personification of humility, he doesn't want to reveal to Aaron and to Miriam his unique status as a prophet, meaning that his prophecy, his koach hanavuah, is qualitatively different than theirs. So as a result of his anava, Moshe is going to be the subject of this derogatory statement, this Lashon Hara of Miriam and Aaron. And it's only after this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals their mistake, that Nevuah of Moshe is not the same as the Nevuah of other Nevi'im. It's in a separate category. Moshe is in a separate, unique category. It's a different quality unto itself. And the Pasuk reads, Vayomer Hashem, Pis'om el Moshe ve'el Aron ve'el Miriam, Tzu'u shloshtechem el ol mo'ed, Vayetzu'u shloshtam, Vayerid Hashem ve'amud ha'anan, Ve'amud Pesach, Ve'yamod Pesach ha'ol, Vayikra Aron u'Miriam, Vayetzu shneem, Vayomer Shimunot Varai, Im Yen Viachem Hashem. Rashi says, Im Yelochem Nevi'im, Bimare Elov Esvado, B'chalom Adaber Bo. Rashi says, Shchinas Shmi Ein Nigles Olov Be Aspaklaria Hama'ira El B'chalom V'chizayon. God says, I will reveal myself to the prophets, but not in this aspaklaria me'iri, this clarity, but rather in a dream. Lochein says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avdi Moshe b'chol beisi ne'eman u'peh el peh adaber bo u'mare v'lo b'chidos u'tmunas Hashem yabit, and therefore madu lo yireisem l'daber b'avdi b'moshe. We indicated the Rambam. The Rambam is going to tell us that Mimoshe Rabbeinu ad Moshe lo kam kimoshe, and we have to derive from these psukim an ikar, one of the fundamentals of our faith. We have to define the unique, qualitatively unique nature of Moshe's prophecy, the fact that he is greater than all the Nevi'im, but not that he's greater qualitative. He's not, it's not a quantitative terms, but right, qualitatively, he's in a category of his own. It's a whole different Nevu'ah. The heft of Nevu'ah, if you want to say, the very essence of Nevu'ah is different. Says the Rambam, and this is in the 7th chapter of Yesod HaTorah, Ma hefrish bei Nevu'as Moshe l'shar kol Nevi'im. So let's just, instead of reading the Rambam word for word, we'll summarize the highlights of this Rambam. All Nevi'im, all prophets, will prophesize either when they're sleeping in a dream, or they receive some sort of a vision. Moshe Rabbeinu is absolutely awake, standing, and the Rambam quotes a pasuk that we read last week, Ubo Moshe el ha'ol moed l'daber ito v'yishma es kol ha'kol medaber elov. Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing, he's awake, he's hearing words, he's not getting visions. Number two, all the Nevi'im receive their prophecy through the intermediary of an angel. And that's why what the angel does is he presents in front of the eyes, so to speak, of the prophet, a mashal and a chida, some sort of a hint or a simile, a metaphor for understanding the content of the Nevuah. In conscious Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no intermediary between God and Moshe. There's no malach, but rather pe'al pe'al davar bo means directly. Panim el panim, the pasuk says, v'diber el Moshe panim el panim, t'munas Hashem yabit. And there's no mashal here, that the malachim are creating some sort of a mashal, but rather he sees, everything is absolutely clear, there are no puzzles, there are no ambiguities, there are no mashalim that Moshe has to interpret. And the Torah testifies about Moshe, b'mare v'lo b'chidos. His nevuah is not based on some sort of an assumption, of a guess, of an interpretation, but rather he sees everything clearly in front of his eyes. Next, the Rambam points out that all prophets have to wait for prophecy. They're in a passive state of sit and wait. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, can initiate prophecy whenever he wants to. The Ruach HaKodesh and the Nevuah will be Shora Olav. He'll have this prophetic moment whenever Moshe Rabbeinu decides to do so, with his own initiative. He doesn't need to somehow figure out when and how he will receive a Nevuah. You know, where should he go? Should he place himself? How does he prepare himself to get the moment? and synchronize all this stuff in which the Navi is trying to wait for that moment of Nevuah. All this is irrelevant to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is always mezuman v'omed. He's always ready, like the Malach Hasharis, basically. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu could prophesize at any time, as long as he picks up the phone and he calls in. That's what he takes the initiative. And the pasuk that the Rambam quotes, again, that's in this week's parsha, is Imdu Veshma'a Matziva Hashem Lachem. Moshe takes the initiative. And therefore, God promises in the pasuk in Dvarim, Parshas Vaschan, it says, Lech Emolem Shuvu Lachem Lo'olech Vata Po Amod Imadi. Hashem says, You Moshe Rabbeinu, you stand with me. And the Rambam derives from this that all the Nevi'im, the Nevuah is removed from them when Chozrim Li'olam, in other words, with the Siyum HaNevuah, the end of the Nevuah, they go back to their Oel, meaning they become, you know, regular rank and file physical finite beings with all their material needs, like any other member of the Jewish community. Says the Rambam, therefore, lefichach ein parshim bin yishoseihem. They'll have the temporary experience of Nevuah for whatever time it takes to get to Nevuah, and then they go back to their homes. They resume their marital life just like any other rank and file citizen in the Jewish community. But Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't go back to his Oel. Hashem says, Atah po amodi madi. Don't go back to your Oel. The other Nevi'im is Shuvu Lachem Yo Aleichem. But Moshe Rabbeinu, you stay here. He doesn't go back to resume his family life. Lefichach says the Rambam, Piresh min ha'isha li'olam. There was a permanent separation from his wife, not just for the moment of Nevuah, but Moshe Rabbeinu is an ongoing Navi, ready for any second of Nevuah, any second. V'nikshua daito l'tzor olamim. Moshe's das is somehow connected to the creator of the worlds, lo nistalik me'olav ahod li'olam, v'karan or ponav niskadesh kimalochem. Wow. Moshe Rabbeinu transforms his very being, he becomes similar to the angels in the heaven, his das is completely connected to the das of Tzur Olamim, and that will never change. That's the permanent identity of Moshe Rabbeinu. It expresses itself in different ways, Karan or Panav, but his Kedusha, Moshe Rabbeinu, is something that goes beyond the human realm, into a realm unto itself. And in this parasha, we have to understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Mefarshim address this question, gathered together first, initially, Moshe, Aaron, and Moshe, Vayomer Hashem Pisom El Moshe, Vel Aaron, Vel Miriam, Tzu'u Shloshtechem, El Oed Moed, Vayetzu Shloshtav, and then immediately afterwards, Vayikra Aaron, Moshe, Vayetzu Shnehem. So Moshe was left in the Oel, and they, that's Miriam and Aaron, left the Oel. And let's explain this based on a pasuk at the end of Tanakh in Micha. It says, "Ki hel yisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim beis avadim pidisicha veshlach lefanecha es Moshe, Aaron, uMiriam." All of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, the three of them, are children of Amram and Yocheved, and they were sent on a special mission to lead Bnei Yisrael at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's the pasuk. And this really reflects the Gemara in Tainis, Shlosha Parnasim Tovim Amdu Yisrael Elohim Moshe the Aaron Miriam. There were three supporters, so to speak, who sustained the people of Israel. Shlosh Mataris Toves Nitnu Al Yodam Be'er Anan Uman. The bear was Bishchus Miriam, the Anan was Bishchus Aaron, and the man was Bishchus Moshe. But it's clear that there is a triumvirate here. There are three musketeers, so to speak, Shlosha, Parnosim, Tovim. They form a unit. They are the Manhigi Yisrael. They were appointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who sent to Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. And you'll see a remez to this in the pasuk in Shir Sayam, Vatan Lahem Miriam, Shiru Lashem Kigoga'a, Vatan Lahem Miriam, which is the gematria of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. And we find with regard to these Shlosha Parnasim that they were Zocha, they merited Nevuos, and they were Nevi'im. And the Medrash says in Mishle, Chachmos Noshim Binsa Besa Zuyochevet Shemida Shlosha Tzadikim Ushloshtim Nasim Nasu Parnasim Moshe Al Amon Aaron Al Hanonim Umiriam Al Be'er Shloshtim Hayu Nevi'im Minayin Nemer L'Moshe Lokom Nevi'od B'Yisrael K'Moshe B'Aaron Nemar The Aaron Achichayah Neviecho, but Miriam Neamar, Vatikach Miriam Neviachos Aaron. Now we know that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shalom. The Medrash says, Golol Shalom Sheshmo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Shalom. And that's the Pasuk in Sefer Dvarim in Parshas Shoftim. It says, Vayikrolo Hashem Shalom. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the Dibur, he perceives the Dibur of Moshe and Aaron. He understands that now there's a creation of some sort of a wedge, a machitza, pirud, between these three manhigi Yisrael. So he first gathers them all together in the old Moed, Vayomer Hashem Pisom El Moshe El Aaron Vel Miriam Tzu Shloshtechem El Ol Moed Vayetzu Shloshtam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, pronouncing that as long as the three Parnasim, these great Parnasim, stood together, Be'achdus B'Sholom, for Klal Yisrael, that was great. But then, HaKadosh Baruch wants to notify them something else, that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is L'mala Min Nevi'im, it's above, it's a quality, a category of its own, above and beyond all the Nevi'im. And therefore, Vayered Hashem Ba'amud Anan, Vayamod Pesach Ha'Oel, Vayikra Aaron Umirim Vayetzu Shnehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes them out of the old Moed. He leaves Moshe Rabbeinu in the old Moed. He wants to illustrate and demonstrate that Moshe Rabbeinu, his place is in the old Moed. He's always ready to hear the Kol Hashem that comes through the two Kruvim. And therefore, V'no Adati L'cha Shom, V'dibarti itcha me'al ha-kaporis mi'bein shnei ha-kruvim ha-shal ha-aron ha-idus es kol asher atzav es-oscha el b'nei Yisrael. So what causes Miriam, the great tzaddikus, the great neviah, to complain in front of Aaron about Moshe Rabbeinu that he separated himself from his wife? The answer is what the Torah describes at the birth of Moshe, Vayelech Ish mi beis Levi vayikach es bas Levi vatar ha'isha vatelid ben vatera oso kitovu. The Gemara says in Sota Daf Yud Beis, Vayelech Ish mi beis Levi lehechan holach. Levi is on his way. Where is he going? Amar Rav Yehuda, holach biatzas bito. He went in the council of his daughter Miriam, and the Brisa says, Amram Kadal Ador Hayu, Kevan Shegozar Paro Rosh Kol Bena Yiloda Yoratash Lichuhu, Omar Amram Lishavanu Amelim, Omar Vegirishes Ishto, Omdu Kula Vegirishes Nisholseim, Omrolo Bito, Abba Koshek Zerascha, Yosem Mishal Paro Paralo Gozal Azchor Viato. Gazaltal is Chorvel Nekevas, Paralo Gozel of Olamaze, Viatov Yolamaze, Biolamaba, Paro Rosha, Sophic Miskayemis Xeroso, Sophic Eno Miskayemis, Atot Sadik, Bivadaish Xeros Chom, Miskayemis, and Emar, Vatigzar, Omar, Vayokom Lech, Apostle Gin Eov. And that means that the Xero of a Tzaddik is calm, it's fulfilled. There's no suffering about it. And as a result of Miriam's presentation to her father, Omad Amra Amram Vehixers, Ishto Amdu Kulam Vehixers Neshosehem. So this is what Miriam says to her father, that your decree is worse than that of Paro. You're basically signing the death sentence for the end of Klal Yisrael. And not only in this world, but for the next world. And there's no question that your Gzera, father, as a tzaddik, will be fulfilled. Let's add to this the Gemara in Sota. On the second page, on the other side of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, it says that Miriam Hanaviah, Shasini Ochevet Laholid Es Moshim Shal Yisrael, that Miriam Isnaba, she had the Nevuah, she received the prophecy that her mother Yocheved would give birth to the Moshiach, to the Savior, so to speak, of Israel. Chazal Darshin on this pasuk in Shiras Hayam, Vatikach Miriam Anaviah Achos Aaron. Why does it say Achos Aaron and not Achos Moshe? And the Gemara has a memra in the name of Rav, Malamit Shahoisa Misnaba Kishehi Achos Aaron. Omeris Asida Imi Shetele Ben Shemoshias Yisrael. This was before Moshe was even born. She's prophesizing the birth of the Moshiach Shal Yisrael. And Kevon Shenolad Moshe Nismale Kolabayis Kulo Or. Omar Avia Vinashka Al Rosha. Omar Labiti Niskaimon Vuasech. I can see already that this little baby is going to be the Asid Lios, the Moshiach Shal Yisrael. It's a Vatmale Kolabayis Kulo Or. When the baby was placed in the Nile, at that point, and he says, Biti Heichan Nevuasayach, where is your prophecy? Now he's gone, he's on the Nile. Lodas, Lodea, Ma Yasalo, Leda Ma Yehe Besof Nevuasa. She waits on the side to see what's going to be with her Nevuah. So let's try to understand. What was the purpose of her prophecy, Asida Imi Shetele Ben Shemoshia Es Yisrael? And furthermore, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal this Nevuah? The answer could be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to her this Nevuah so that she could have an influence, an impact on Amram, on her father, I'll call Yisrael, so they should remarry their wives, that there's going to be a Moshiach Shel Yisrael, that we will have an exodus from Golus, we will have a redemption. There's room for optimism, not the pessimism of divorcing wives. And therefore we could derive from this that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, was born into this world in the merit of Miriam, who had this impact on her father to remarry his wife, to remarry Yocheved. As a result, all the wives were remarried. All the men remarried their wives. And Noldu Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzrayim, the entire house of Israel, was born in Mitzrayim. So that even though, again, according to the Gemara, we'll see that Yocheved was already pregnant with Moshe before Amram divorced her. However, the Targum Yonasan explains that Yocheved nisabra only after Amram remarried Yocheved. And Moshe was actually born 6 months and one day after the impregnation. And Rashi also indicates that, and it's clear from the Zohar. So we're talking about an Ibur which takes place after Amram remarries his wife. So it's all Bischus Miriam that Moshe is born. And why was Miriam Zocha, one could ask, to this great Nevuah that's going to have such an impact on the future of Klal Yisrael? If we open up the pasuk, Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim La Mialdos Ha Ivrios Asher Shem Achas Shifra V'Shem Hashen Is Pua Vayomer B'Yadchem Es Ha Ivrios V'Ra'isen Alav Naim Im Benhu V'Misen Oso V'Im Basi V'Choya V'Tir'ena Mialdos Es Elokim V'Lo Osu Kasher Dibra Le Melech Paro V'Tchayena Se Yeladim. Rashi says Shifra Zu Yocheved Pua Zu Miriam. The name Shifra is an allusion to Yocheved. That's her real name. Al Shem Shemeshaperes Es Avlad. That Shifra Yocheved had a wonderful way of beautifying the fetus, the newborn fetus. And Puah's Murim al Shem Shepoah Mitaberes Vahogel of Vlad. Kiderech Anoshim Ayim Faisos Tino Kaboche. Vatchayenes Yeladiv Mesapkos Lemayim Umozon. There was an act here of Mesiris Nefesh. Miriam defies the word of Paro. She saves Yalde Yisrael, the children of Israel. And mitzvah goreres mitzvah. She's going to have another mitzvah. And that is to influence, to make an impact on her father Amram and all of Israel to remarry their wives. And if you'll ask the question, why didn't she succeed? Yocheved, why didn't Yocheved succeed? I mean, after all, she was one of these two Mialdos. So perhaps the answer is Ein Chavish Matir Atzmei Beis Asurim, that once Amram separated himself from Yocheved, we needed some other person other than Yocheved herself to save Yocheved and get Amram to remarry Yocheved. So we needed Miriam to be Mashpia, to have that impact on her father so that he would remarry Yocheved. As a result, Moshe Rabbeinu is born. So Yocheved's nevuah is going to bring about the entire redemption from Egypt, because Moshe is going to serve as the redeemer of Bnei Yisrael. And now perhaps we can understand a little bit why Miriam spoke this Lashon Hara against Moshe when she saw her brother Moshe that he was separating from his wife. She didn't know that God had commanded Moshe to do so. As a result of Moshe's great level of nevuah, her mistake was to think that his nevuah was at least in the same category as her. Maybe it was greater than the Nevi'im, but that's only a quantitative difference. That's really a qualitative difference. She didn't recognize that Moshe was a nevuah of a Navi of a different ilk, and the last, you know, the least on our mind, the last notion on our mind that was that Moshe Rabbeinu had a tzibur from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Porish Mi Ishto. And she remembered that Amram, their father, was Porish Mi Ishto from Yocheved. And that as a result, Kol Yisrael Holchu Bikvosav, that Kol Yisrael followed in the footsteps of Amram and they separated themselves from their wives. She had the zchus to be influenced, to mashpia on her father Amram to remarry his wife, such that now Moshe is born. Therefore, at this point, when she sees Moshe separating from his wife, you know, she has like deja vu. This is like a history repeating itself. What had happened with Amram when he had divorced his wife, she couldn't stop herself. Her nefesh was crying out. She was full of wonder and amazement. How could it be that Moshe, her brother, would separate himself from his wife Tzipora, who was so beautiful in her maisim? She was such a wonderful paradigm of a wife and a mother. And therefore she started judging Moshe Rabbeinu. And she thought that Moshe Rabbeinu is now repeating the sin of her father and their father Amram. And therefore she felt once again, it's time, God has put her in a very unique spot to influence Moshe, her brother, to follow as her father had done before and remarry his wife. And you know, her father had done that because of her, meaning Miriam's influence, and now she wants to influence Moshe to follow and imitate the major move of Amram, their father, and retake their wives. But instead of speaking directly to Moshe Rabbeinu, she made a mistake. Vatadaber Miriam vi Aaron b'Moshe. She turns to Aaron and she speaks to Aaron and initiates this whole derogatory conversation. Aladosa isha kushisa selakak isha kusis lakak. Now it's interesting that Miriam and Aaron never said explicitly that Moshe Rabbeinu was poresh mishto, he separated from his wife. That ha'azis ponim, that chutzpah, they didn't have to say that about Moshe, but rather they describe in beautiful terms who Moshe's wife's was. Ki isha kushis lukach. And this, of course, is a reflection of what Rashi says, that isha kushis lukach is the the zchus of Tzipora, that she was Nobe Yofia, Nobe Maseha. And Mimele, you can understand as a result of their praising Tzipora, that by implication, there is a critique of Moshe Rabbeinu of having separated himself from Tzipora. And there was a complaint, so to speak, that they were registering against Tzipora, against Moshe for leaving such a woman who was of such great stature and status in Tzadekes. And therefore, even though there were great zchuyot, you know, there were great merits and accomplishments on the part of Miriam, I mean, as a result of her actions, Amram remarried Yocheved and all of Klal Yisrael, and Moshe was born. And she, of course, had compassion on Tzipora, the wife of Moshe, that Moshe separated himself from her. Nevertheless, she's going to be punished because she spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tumas Tzaras, in Perek Tezayin, explaining the underlying message of the mitzvah to remember the mice of Miriam and her, so to speak, disparaging words against her brother Moshe. He says, "Al inyan zeh mazir b'tor v'yomer yishomer b'negat tzaras zechores asher osa Hashem al kechel of Miriam b'derech b'tzeiska b'mitzrayim areyu omer." And that's why it says in the Pasuk, his bonenu. I mean, it doesn't say the Pasuk, but what's implied in the Pasuk is bonenu. Ma'ira le Miriam anevia. This is what you have to remember. What happened to Miriam? Shedibra ba'cheha, be'achio. Shehoisa gidola b'menu b'shanim. She was older than him. Gidlosal b'cheha. She was the one who raised him. Sikna atzma latzilo minayam. She put her life into danger to save him from the Nile. Vehilo dibra bignuso. She didn't really speak anything pejorative. Elatasa. She made just this one mistake. Shehishtavu. Shehishvasaso l'shar neviim. She equated his nevuah with that of other neviim. And not only that, says the Rambam, who, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, lo hikvid al kol from. He had no kpeda. He was not complaining. He was not insulting. Shenemar, and that's why the pasuk says, "Va'yish Moshe anav miod." V'yafal pichen miad nensha b'tzaras. Nevertheless, there is tzaras. There is a punishment. There is a reckoning immediately. Kal v'chomer, we should really derive in a kal v'chomer b'nei odom rishoyim atipshim shemarbim ledaber gdolos v'niflos. People who say explicitly derogatory things, words of derision. Is therefore lefichach roy lemisha rotzel lechamin or chosav lestrachik mishivasan vladabri mayim. A person should stay far away from these individuals who constantly speak words of negative words. Don't speak to them. Don't get engaged. Don't engage them in conversation. You'll hear what they have to say. Kedoshi tofes adam bereshes rishon v'sechlusam. Let's go a little further. Let's discuss the pasuk that says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the tochacha to Miriam and Aaron, he says, "Madua lo yereisem ledaber biavdi Moshe." Miriam is punished. Vayichar af Hashem bom vayelech vanan sar me'ala oel v'hinei Miriam mitzoras kesheleg. Vayifen Aaron el Miriam v'hini mitzoras vayitzak Moshe Hashem limor kel no refon Allah. Moshe Rabbeinu did not even bother to come up with explanations, justifications to justify his bakoshes rachamim. You'll see after the Chet HaEgel, he comes up with explanations and all sorts of amaslos and terutzim that would bring Hashem to rachamim for clemency. But here, no, Moshe Rabbeinu just says one thing. He says, "Kel no refon Allah." As if to say in front of the Ribbono Shalom, you know what? Mi kamocha, who's as great as you are? You know that she's a tzadekis, and that she had no intention whatsoever to humiliate me. And as in fact, in her merit, because of her actions, I was born into this world. She was moser nefesh to save me. Certainly I have no I have no claim against her. Certainly, I mean, certainly, this woman is the woman who, if not for her, I would have drowned. I would have died of starvation on the Sfas HaYa'or, on the Nile. And the pasuk says, "Vatomer Achoso El Bas Paro Ha'elef Akarasi Loch Isha Meinekes Minivrios V'Tinak Loch Es HaYeled Vatomer Lo Bas Paro Lachi V'Telech." And the Gemara comments on this in Sota. Umaishna me ivrios melamichek zigu alamoshal kolam mitzrios kulon veloyonak. How does she convince Bas Paro? How does Miriam convince Bas Paro to take one of the Hebrew women to nurse this baby? After all, there are plenty of mitzrios who can do it. But rather, the baby was taken in front of all the mitzvios and lo yonak. He did not suckle from them. And the reason for that is Peshos et ledarme mashchina yinak dover tome es mi yoredeya lemi yoredeya lemi yavin shmua legmule mi cholav ulatike mi shadayim. Rashi says lemi limed HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah. To whom is God going to transmit the Torah, teach the Torah? L'misha gomal, v'hifrish atzmo michalav tomei v'netak min hashadayim atmeim. So it's again b'schus Miriam, who invites, or just, shall we say, designates for Moshe a nursing mother from amongst the Jewish women, that Moshe Rabbeinu should nurse Cholav Tar from Yocheved, his mother. In that schus, Moshe Rabbeinu would be able to speak to Shekhinah. He would be able to receive the Torah transmitted to him, and therefore transmitted to Klal Yisrael. And as a result, Moshe Rabbeinu has to be parish miyishto. So when Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kel no refun Allah, he pours out his heart in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his lev tahar. It's only because of the schus of this woman that I'm capable of speaking to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That I have this level of nevuah, that I can teach Torah, to learn Torah from you and teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. It's because she saved me from the chol of tamei of the mitzrios. So, kel no refun Allah. Everything is implicit in Moshe Rabbeinu's plea. He doesn't have to go into long details about justifying what she did. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Moshe, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, V'yavia yorok yorak b'faneha, haloti cholem shivas yomim, tisogir shivas yomim michutz l'machna, v'yachar teyosef, v'atisogir Miriam michutz l'machna shivas yom, v'om lo nosa ad hayosef Miriam. If you look in the Das Kenim Ibali Atosvis, they try to explain this statement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'avia yorok yorak b'faneh lo ticholem shivas yomim. Amram Avia was no longer alive. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu mention in his justification something that's not shayach, that's not relevant to her? I mean, what do you mean Avia yorok yorak b'faneh? He's already gone. So the Balei Atosfos explained, based on the Gemara in Sota that we mentioned earlier, that it was before Moshe was born that she, Miriam, was able to convince Amram to remarry his wife, and therefore Teled Moshe and Shal Yisro, with the optimism of a Miriam, who before Moshe Rabbeinu's birth was able to convince her father that there would be the birth of Moshe and Shal Yisrael, and she convinced Amra that the mother of this Moshe and Shal Yisrael would be your wife Yocheved, my mother. And when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the entire house was mole, was full of light, and Amram stands up and he kisses her on the head, and she says, look, your Neviah is Mizkaima, this is the Moshe and Shal Yisrael. It's only afterwards, when Moshe Rabbeinu was sent on the Nile, then Amram gets cold feet and he says, Biti Heicha Nevuasech. And then she, Miriam, goes out to the Nile in order to save her brother, to see how her nevuah would be miskayim. Say the Bali Atosis ve'avia yorok yarak b'fanel lo ticholim shivas yomim. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's remez. He's alluding to this great maisa that took place b'emes, that Amram really tofach al rosha after Yocheved had to take Moshe and put him into the, you know, put him on the Nile. And that's like a eureka b'fanel. That's like spitting in the face of Miriam. Tofach al rosha. And he says, where's your nevuah? And now the Bali Atosis said another point when it says vatis tzav achoso mirachu, she positions herself in order to try to save Moshe Rabbeinu. It's as a result of the nezifa, the fact that Amram, her father, got this nezifa, you know, from the Gadol Ador, she receives a spit in her eye, so to speak. She will suffer this humiliation for 7 days. Vayeshev bichutzli olo shivas yomim. That's the punishment for Metzora, that he's quarantined out of his house, way out of the machna for 7 days. That's what she suffers. And it's all because of the nezifa that she got from her father. Nezifa means when you put someone, so to speak, in almost like excommunication. And all this is yarok yarak b'fanel. Because as a result of the nazif of her father, Bnei Yisrael would have to send her away out of the machta for 7 days. That's the nazifa. And now too, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving a nazifa to Miriam, because she spoke Lashon Hara on Moshe, Tisoger Shivas Yomim Michutz LaMachna V'Achar Teyosef. So it's this 7 day period, you know, first in the nezifa of her father Amram, and now in the nezifa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and again she's going to suffer this nezifa of Shivas Yom Chutz LaMachne. And this would shed a light on the Gemara Moikot, on Tan Rabbanan, Ein Nidui Pachos Mishloshim Yom Vein Nezifa Pachos Mishivas Yomim, that when someone receives a nezifa, it's not exactly like an excommunication, like a Nidui, it's only 7 days as opposed to 30 days. And the Gemara quotes, as a Zecher L'Dover, the Gemara quotes our Pasuk, V'avio Yorok Yorak V'fanela Ticholem Shivas Yomim. And what does this mean? That from this pasuk we see that when Amram gave an azifa to Miriam, his daughter, Hirchiku Osa Shivas Yomim. That's what the Bali Atosis say. And perhaps we can embellish this by saying the following. We find with regard to Amram, according to the Medrash, Yogok Bifanea Shal Miriam. The Medrash says, based on a pasuk of Mishle, we say this every Friday night in that famous great chapter, the 31st chapter of Mishle, Eishes Chayil Miyimtza, Chagra Biyoz Masneo Vatiyam Yitzro Oseh Zu Miriam Shekodem Shenolad Moshe Omro Asido Imi Shetela Ed Ben Shemoshias Yisrael Kevan Shenolad Vechibed Aleim Ol Shibud Omad Avia V'Tofchal Rosha Omala Heichan V'Oseh V'Omad U'Marka Bifanel. V'al kolzos misametzes binevuasa. It's crystal clear from the Medrash Shochar Tov that Amram actually spit in the face of Miriam because he thought that Miriam had tricked him to remarry his wife Yocheved, and as a result the baby would be born and he wouldn't be Moshe in Shesrael. He's going to be sent on to the Nile. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'avia yorok yorak b'fanel lo ticholim shivas yomim, it's a perfect parallel here. Her father spit in her face, and she was in an azifa for 7 days. That's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to bring tzaras on her immediately, and she will suffer this nazifa, this humiliation for 7 days. And the Gemara tells us in Sota, Mirim himtina lemoshe shah achas, shenemar vatistzav, Achoso mirachok is lefichach nisakvula Yisrael shivas yomim b'midbar shenemar amlo nasa ad hayosef Miriam. Now where's the cheshbon here? That Klal Yisrael waited for Miriam for 7 days in the midbar because she waited for Moshe Rabbeinu 1 hour. Well, what's the connection between 1 hour and 7 days? But according to the Bali Atosvis, Vatitasev Achoso Meirachok, there are two interpretations. One interpretation, Pshuta Kevashbo, simple, straightforward, is that she stood at a distance to see what would happen with her nevuah, because she believed with a total faith that this child was Asid Liel's Moshiach Shel Yisrael, and therefore she waited to see Eich Yipol Dover, what's going to happen. And as a result of this hamtana that she waits, is she is able to invite a Meinekes Mina Ivrios, which is of course Yocheved Imo, to nurse Moshe Rabbeinu. But the pasuk Vatisatzev Achoso Meirachok includes also another interpretation, according to the Bali Tosfos, that Richaku es Miriam Zayin Yomim Beglal says Nezifa Shal Amram Avia, that at this moment in time there was a Nezifa of 7 days. And we begin to see how Klal Yisrael waiting for 7 days after she, Miriam, became a Tzaras is a reward for the 7 days that she suffered this Nezifa. So when it says Miriam Imtina L'Moshe Sha'achas, and she believed with total faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would save the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, she stands at a distance because of the Nezifa of her father that was Merachika for Shivas Yomim L'fichach Nis'akvu La Yisrael Zayin Yomim B'midbar. B'nei Yisrael will wait for Miriam, they'll hold up, they'll postpone their movement in the desert, in her honor, recognizing her greatness. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, V'avia yarok yarak b'faneo, halo ticholem shivas yomim, tisogir shivas yomim, chutz l'machna v'yachar te'yosef. You read this pasuk, you're amazed, you wonder, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring this kind of analogy here to the punishment that she suffered when her father Amram, you know, so to speak, spit in her face, and there was a harchaka of Shivas Yomim, now Hashem is punishing her in the same way. I mean, you know, that punishment that she got from her father was lelo avel pesha. You know, she really was totally guiltless because she saw this nevuah. She understood that the child born from this remarriage, if you will, of Amram and Yocheved would bring the Moshiach Shel Yisrael into birth. And now she gets spit in her face. I mean, she didn't deserve that punishment. But the answer is that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hinting to her that just like Miriam was punished without any real chait, and yet she suffered in the humiliation from her father, so too she's going to be punished now with Tzaras. They're going to send her out of the Machta for 7 days because of a Lashon Hara, when she's really, really not guilty. And the answer is that she is guilty in the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Medagdekim Svivav Keshut Kechut Asayu, the famous Gemara Yevamos of the Svivav Nishara Miyod, that on the level of Miriam, you know, relative to her tzidkis and her high level, it was a shtickel chait. You know, she was there was some mistake that she made here. Like, for example, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the lives of Bnei Aaron, of Nadav Aviu, and he turns to Aaron and he says, Hu Asher Dibel Hashem B'Krovaya Kadesh, says Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ose Din B'Tzadikim, is Im Kain. He says, Misyari, Misala, Miskales, Imkain V'elu Kolshkein V'Rishoyim, meaning that on their level, Nadav Aviu were guilty of a sin, a very subtle sin, and this is going to be a great Kiddush Hashem, that Hashem punishes them, takes their lives, and it's going to create a fear that if this is the way God punishes Tzaddikim, could you imagine the way He punishes Rishoyim? And here too, in the case of Miriam, she made that one mistake by equating Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah with that of other Nevi'im, and she wondered why and how Moshe Rabbeinu would take such a wonderful woman like Tzipora with her Maisim Tovim, and he would send her away. And she didn't give Moshe Rabbeinu that extra benefit of the doubt that maybe he was doing exactly what Hashem wanted to do, because he has to remain permanently fixed in the old Moed waiting to speak to Hashem. But on her level, there was a bit of a sin, a subtle sin, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished her with such a great punishment. And that's a Kiddush Hashem, so to speak, in which Hashem is instilling Yirah in the fears of others, because if this is the way Hashem treats the tzaddikim, could you begin to imagine how he would treat Rishayim? And if you look in the Chasam Sofer, on the pasuk in Kitesi Zohar Es Os Hashem Elokecha LeMiriam, he writes, Lefi Ani Es Daiti Zohar Es Os Hashem Elokecha LeMiriam Kavod V'tova Al Shimtina Al Moshe Shah Himtino Aleh Shivas Yomim. A whole new twist that we should remember, you know, the aspect of Miriam as Kavod V'tova, that the people of Israel waited for 7 days for this great woman. And why? Because she waited for Moshe that hour, meaning she put her life into danger here with an act of Mesiris Nefesh, and as a result she saved Moshe Rabbeinu, both physically and spiritually, because the Menekes would be a Menekes Ivris. But we see quite clearly from the Chasam Sofer that in the very pasuk of remembering Miriam and her punishment, we have a mitzvah to remember her tzidkus, her greatness. And as a result of her greatness, all of Klal Yisrael would wait for her. That's a great act of kavod for her. Because we have to understand this whole parasha in a new light. You know, we think, how could it be that Miriam, the great Nevi'ah, the great Tzaddikus, would speak Lashon Hara, and this is going to be the paradigm for Lashon Hara and the punishment for Lashon Hara for all times, and we have to remember this. I mean, how could Miriam do such a thing? But the answer is, when we see the broader picture, you begin to appreciate this is a very subtle ship, a subtle sin, that on her level, she's being punished for nothing, so to speak. The same way that she was punished by her father for nothing. A whole new pshat. Okay, then we'll stop here. Great new insight into the parasha in Baloscha, and also the episode of Miriam and her so-called Lashon Hara, and the reason we have to remember on a daily basis this episode of Miriam.